heart and heart united together. Seek rest in God's heart. Let your flames of love blaze towards the Savior. He is the head, we are his members. He is the light, and we are the shine. He is the master, and we are brothers. He is ours, and we are his. Come, O come, you children of grace, and renew your covenant. Swear to our overcomer love and faithfulness from the bottom of your hearts. And if your chain of love lacks strength and firmness, oh, then plead for it until Jesus strengthens it again. Oh, gracious friend, unite your consecrated flock, that they may be as dear to me as was your last will. Yes, unite in the truth that you yourself are in essence all that is illuminated by your clarity indeed. Love you have commanded, that we should love one another. So make the dead, sluggish spirits full of life. Kindle the flames of love, that everyone may see we as members of one tribe stand for one man. Let us be united as you are with the Father, until here on this earth there is no longer any divided member. And let our light shine only from your light. Then the world will recognize that we are your disciples. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we greet all of you who have come to today's special service in Zurich, as well as all those who are joining us online worldwide, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great privilege and a great blessing that we have been able to hear the pure Word of God from a commissioned mouth for over 50 years at this blessed place here in the Volkshaus in Zurich. We are delighted to hear time and again that so many are experiencing God anew through these sermons and are being strengthened in their faith. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same today. He has the same power, and today he extends his saving hand to each of us so that we can serve him. May the faithful Lord come into his own with us all today. For he will now, in these last days, finish his work in victory. Before we pray and before the broadcast, I would like to read Psalm 111.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. In verse 10 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who truly have the fear of God in their hearts will gratefully respect all of God's decisions. I will read another scripture from James 3. James 3. Verses 17 to 18 contains a powerful message about true and heavenly wisdom. It says here, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Before the broadcast begins, let us ask for God's blessing. Gracious Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for the living and liberating word of the cross, for the liberating message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless all who hear the Spirit-filled sermon from a commissioned mouth today and reveal yourself to them as the same. May the fear of God return to the church today, for it is written that it is the beginning of all divine wisdom. O God, may your well-pleasing rest upon us all. May the heavens open wide above us, and may the Holy Spirit descend upon us. Beloved Lord, bless your word to us today in a special way. Give us all new strength. Bless us together from the riches of your grace, after spirit, soul, and body. Work through your Spirit and your Word. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I also greet you warmly in the precious name of the Lord. I'm glad and grateful that we can be here to worship and hear the word of the Lord. There is truly nothing else like it in the whole world. We are not just saying that, it is true. And the responsibility that has been placed upon us is great. It is the greatest that currently exists on earth towards God and towards people. A great thing brings with it a great obligation and responsibility. And we see, especially on trips like the one I have just completed, what God has already done and how He opens doors, opens hearts, and what He will still do. Before I give a report, I would first like to highlight the earthly things. I do not know if all of us who regularly gather here to hear the word of the Lord have noticed how many hands have been busy here to make everything beautiful, to paint, to decorate, to adorn with flowers and with everything that goes with it. I first took a tour in the house of God and was deeply pleased to see the dedication and love with which everything has been and is being done to make everyone who comes here feel comfortable. And I would like to thank those who had the time and were able to help from the bottom of my heart. May God reward you. There are people who are called to simply pray that God may bless us, and we are grateful for that too. Then there are others who have hands and skills, and we are grateful for that too. Everyone in their place. No one is rebuked here who was unable to help or did not have time. But those who had time and made it all possible are being praised. May God bless you and reward you. This time we expect great things from God, simply as never before. great things from God. And someone said in a telephone conversation, every time God does something special, or when special gatherings are coming up, the enemy may want to put quite a few obstacles in the way. Let us always remember, obstacles are there to be overcome. Not that we should stop at them or fall over them, but that we should overcome them and move forward with our God, giving Him the glory in faith. As far as the trip is concerned, it is always a special privilege to see what the brochures that are sent out and the cassettes that are sent out are doing among the people. Let's start with Singapore. There I had the opportunity to speak at a Bible seminar where people from 32 nations study vigorously. Without revelation of what God is doing now or has done in this generation, I had the opportunity to give a testimony and then collected the addresses of those who were present so that they can be looked after. It is one thing, I noticed this specifically there, to say we have read and believe, and another thing to have it revealed and to act upon it. These are two very different things, and Brother Rus has already mentioned, in the days of Jesus, thousands upon thousands heard what was said acoustically. They could all have said, yes, we were among the crowd when this man spoke. We were there when he took the bread and broke it, and it didn't run out. On the contrary, it became more and more. But what was the result? Only a few remained in the end. Out of all those thousands, the proclamation must be made, and what God then does is His business. Our task is to carry the word and take it to the ends of the earth. As far as the believers within the message are concerned, it is well known that there are different directions and that there are needs everywhere. But this much I can testify, that God gives grace. He simply gives grace to proclaim the truth in love without hurting another brother or naming names, simply sharing and presenting the Word of God as it should be. That helps more than all the criticism of others could ever help. And so, God gives us more and more grace. Then in Jakarta, we had very good meetings. The Pentecostal church there has 1,300 members. But what can one say, right? There is a lady standing on the platform, and she is in charge of the singing. And some things still leave something to be desired. But we do not use the brute force method, but rather patience. And if someone reads Brother Branham's sermons and does not understand the things, and the Spirit of God does not reveal them to him, then we will only cause strife. But in one meeting, there was a lady who translated me, and she had read Brother Branham's sermons, and then asked me if I was also convinced that a woman should not stand in front. And there was no brother who knew enough English to translate. I remember when Brother Branham was in Finland, he had a woman as a translator because no man knew the language. A Finnish woman who had lived in the United States for years, and it was simply necessary to have a good translator and not someone who had to search for words or ask about the meaning. And so it became very difficult when I was asked directly, "Are you also convinced that a woman does not belong on the platform?" Then, of course, you have to show your colors. You have to be wise and quote the Bible accurately. A woman must not teach. Did you know that? I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. But nowhere does it say that a woman may not bear witness. That is a very big difference, or that she may not translate. And so, you have to do good to people. You have to do good to them and still stick to the truth. Another day, we might go a step further and tell the lady that her place would be better in the audience than at the front. But here too, I come back to what I said earlier. If the Spirit of God does not reveal it, everything is in vain. We only provoke strife and close the door before us. There is nothing else left, but God will see to it that in the end everything will be as it was in the beginning. Someone asked me about this in the past 2 days that I've been here, when our sisters will find their place in the Church of the Living God. I said, they have already found it. They have already found it. We have ushers here who are our deacons, and we will ask them to be on duty in the coming days. But in the kingdom of God, no one assigns a place to another. In the kingdom of God, God places everyone where they belong. No one rebukes another, but all receive the same teaching and accept the word of the Lord. This brother in Jakarta had read my testimony about the Lord speaking, and he suddenly said, deeply moved, "Tell me, Brother Frank, when the Lord spoke to you, was his voice like the sound of rushing waters?" And I said, "No, it was not like that." He looked at me. "Yes, it is written in the Bible. And his voice is like the sound of rushing waters. He can speak however he wants." He spoke clearly to Paul in Hebrew, very clearly, not a rushing sound, but a language clearly spoken. Then I was able to tell him truthfully, "My beloved brother, no rushing sound and no water, a distinct, clear voice in which every final syllable was fully emphasized." And people wonder what that might have been like. There are so many who seem to say, God spoke to me, like this auntie who said that God told her to travel to 3 countries. She already knows 2 of them, but not the 3rd. All I could say was, me neither. What else can you say? There are people who simply, perhaps they don't know any better. That could be. Just as there are people on earth who have ideas and cannot control themselves, so there are also believers who cannot distinguish between what comes from God and what they themselves feel. There are also different ways of speaking, sometimes a direct word through the Spirit, in the heart, in the soul, sometimes in dreams, sometimes in a vision. The Lord can reveal Himself, and He can speak however and whenever He wants. To sum up, all in all, God's Word accomplishes what it was sent to do in all places, in all countries. Admittedly, the need is great everywhere. Brother Alfred Borg is here, and we who are involved with the printing press, even if we wanted to meet all the demand, we could have 3 printing presses and print day and night and still not know if we could meet it all. But it probably doesn't matter how many sermons we have heard, but whether God has been able to reveal to us what we have read or heard. That is what matters. There are people who say, I have all 1,300 sermons under control. That may be true. I'm not disputing it. But perhaps they have them under control in the sense that they have them in their hands. When you take them off the shelf, you have them in your hands, and you reach for them, you have them under control. But that's not what we mean. We mean what was read to us from Luke 10, I believe. The Lord spoke to His own, not only in parables, but clearly and plainly, saying, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Are we aware that the same Bible is read and taught in over 300 denominations at all seminaries? The same Bible, not a page more and not a chapter less. And where is God's revelation? Where is the speaking of the Lord? Where are the people who are willing to submit to God? I come to this at the weekend, when in Jakarta, this millionaire, either he already was one or he wanted to become one, from Hamburg, he suddenly said, I would like to talk to you. I said, gladly, and then it started. I have researched all the religions, I have searched, and now I would like to ask you, you are a religious man, tell me why it was necessary for blood to be shed in Christianity so that we could be saved. And do you know what happened? When I was asked this question, revelation came upon me. But don't ask to what extent. So wonderful and so powerful that I wished I had the largest congregation before me that I had ever seen on earth. 1 million would have been just enough. Sometimes there are people who don't even know why or what they say or ask. The important thing is that we are always ready or able for God to speak to us. And I will come back to that, God willing, at the weekend. It is so profound and so wonderful to see how God has guided and arranged everything, why it had to be this way or that way. God has a way, and only this one way leads to the goal. Only this path leads to the destination. I don't want to go into that in more detail now. What we read, every verse touches our hearts. We read, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. We read, I give you power over all the power of Satan. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. It is part of it. And I ask you, as brothers, let us take it seriously from now on. Let us not only repeat what the Lord said, but put it into practice. Put it into practice, knowing that the sick were healed and sinners were saved when Christ died on Golgotha. Beloved Brother Rus, my beloved brothers here, when we pray for people who come to the Lord, are we setting out to save them or heal them or bring them redemption? No, we have preached and we pray for them so that they may break through to this living faith in order to experience what has been accomplished for them. From now on, let us claim the same for ourselves with regard to healing. We are not here to try to see if we can be healed or not. We are here to proclaim, by His stripes we are healed. We are here to see the accomplished work put into action without effort, in obedience to the Lord who has given us His word. And Brother Rus has already emphasized this. It touched my heart more than it touched all of you. Whom the Lord sends, He confirms. Or at least the word. Let's leave it open. Whether the man is confirmed would be secondary. The primary thing would be that the word is confirmed, right? Why do I need confirmation? I would be satisfied if I saw God's word confirmed. And as it is written, I believe it's in Mark, in the last chapter, that the Lord was with His own and confirmed His word. Are we all prepared to expect that the word will not only be preached, but that it will also happen? I am not prepared for that at the moment, but it is probably written in John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. But I am actually looking for the word where it is written that he bore witness. It must be at the end of a gospel, probably Mark after all. The evangelists all contributed their part, which was necessary to leave us a complete picture. Mark 16 contains the Great Commission in verse 14, and we still believe it today. It is still valid today. It still applies today. It must apply because it is from God and because God's Word tells us so. But then, in verse 19, it says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." In the past, some of you may remember, when you read invitations to evangelistic campaigns, they always said contributors are trombone choir, singers. It always said featuring. But here we read something completely different. Here we read the Lord working with them. And that's what we want. We simply want the Lord to work with us and confirm the word of His grace by signs and wonders. Let no one suppose that we are becoming miracle-seeking, never ever. I can assure you that will never happen, that we will become miracle-seeking, but that we will see miracles, that will happen. We have given the word the importance it deserves. We have put it first. In the beginning was the word. But because the word was in the beginning, things also happened from the beginning. God spoke, and it came to pass. And if the same word is also at the end, then we must expect the same things. And forgive me, but even with criticism of what others teach or claim, we will not reach the destination. There is a lot going on. We all know that. And as brothers, we will talk about the overall situation on Saturday morning and afternoon. Anyone who would like to join us is welcome to do so. Regarding the questions and problems, the interpretations and so forth, because the brothers also have a right to go home with clarity in order to say what needs to be said. We regret the overall situation in which we and all the people are in. We do not only feel sorry for those who have deviated in terms of doctrine or knowledge. We all submit ourselves to the same judgment and say, "Lord, we are no better. Had you not kept us in your word, we too would have strayed and would not be here." And we bow our heads just as much because God has not yet been able to assert His rights. He is the same. And when we hear about specialities from time to time, as there are always new things coming up, as is the case now, it is no secret how people were preparing to fly to India because the man claimed that William Branham had said there would be 700 left and not 7,000. And believe it or not, the man got exactly 700 together, and one of them was a millionaire. And now people are preparing to fly to El Paso. A number of them already have their tickets, because the last race is now starting. The third pull is in full swing. Four squirrels have already been spoken into existence, and whatever else is coming. And people believe it. There's fire coming, there's light coming. This is coming, that is coming. I don't know if I should say this, but our brothers from Kinshasa know the man who claims that the new name of the Lord is William Marion Branham instead of Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen the photos with light, with fire, and then that inscription above it. I'm not interested in light. I'm not interested in fire. In my Bible it is written, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when divine light really appeals to me, then I don't make propaganda. Then I fall on my face like Saul and cry out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The light of God has completely different results than what we see today. And nowhere is it written that Brother Branham's ministry should be imitated. It is only written that there will be imitators, as there were imitators in the days of Moses. But every imitation is not an original. There is only one original of everything. And we will emphasize this very strongly, because the only one who had this commission was Brother Branham. And the Lord God sent his angel to him and told him that the sign of the Messiah would be given to him. He gave him the description, mentioned Moses, and said, As Moses received two signs, so two signs will be given to you. He was told very clearly, just as the Lord gave the sign of the Messiah to the Jews and Samaritans, by revealing their thoughts, knowing their names, telling them where they were and so on, that this ministry would now be repeated as the last sign before the end of the age of grace for the church. And that actually happened. Nowhere is it written that such a ministry should be continued by me or by anyone else. There was only one seventh messenger, and he brought us the word. We have recognized the connections. We are not imitators. We have received the glorious message, the revealed word, the food. We do not need to imitate. We only need to set the table for the people of God. And the better we do it, the more pleasing it is to God and to people. And we will do this until the Lord comes. We will not reach out for things that are unbiblical. As far as I'm concerned, and I even believe it, there have been people in this room who have seen the rainbow. There have been people who have seen the rainbow. Whether it, we leave it at that, we won't say anything. It may be that supernatural things happen. That may be. We don't deny it. But, and now it comes, listen closely. We still have to test the thing that comes before or after it against the word. Is that right? Whatever comes or goes, we must, and there is no way around it, put the thing that is presented, that is taught, to the word test. And here I can take you back to what Brother Branham said. Of course, I believe he spoke three squirrels into existence. But what did the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, say to him? I will teach you what shall come to pass through the ministry of the spoken word. For the time will come when the sick will no longer be prayed for, but only the word will be spoken, and they will be healed. And the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, I would have to look it up, said to him literally, this refers to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, namely, if you speak to this mountain and say, rise up and be cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen, it will be done. The man of God was brought back to the Word. In any case, his ministry was biblically based and supported by Holy Scripture, and so it must remain until the end. There must be a direction that can be called divine direction. And this direction does not go in four different directions, it goes only in one, and that must be the divine direction. And we have said this again and again. The only thing that connects us directly to God and His Word is the new birth through the Word and the Spirit of God. People who are born of God and carry this divine seed within themselves and are themselves divine seed have only one relationship, and that is the relationship to the Word of God. The interpretations disgust them. I don't know about you, but interpretations obscure the actual word that God spoke. And Brother Rus, we said it here. We were at the Wailing Wall. We went into those vaulted rooms there, put on the beautiful kippahs, and looked into the Mishnah and all the books there. They were so big and so wide. And what did we see? Such a large page, one single verse from some book of Moses, an interpretation at the top, another on the right, a third on the left, and a fourth at the bottom. Is that right? We can gladly illustrate that. Such a single verse is written on a huge page. And there you see how the scholars who come there to pray, I do not judge. It pains me, as in the days of Jesus my Lord, because of the interpretations, they did not understand what happened according to the word. If it were only interpretations that meant nothing or had no causal effect, I would say nothing. But it is precisely these interpretations that have blinded their eyes to what God really said in His Word. And then it is criminal. And then one cannot remain silent about it. And in the same way, there are all the commentaries on what Paul and Peter wrote. Forget all the commentaries. Here is the original seed of the Word. And the Spirit of God, who inspired the Word, is in us, and it shines like a bright light in darkness and coming to life. But the same applies to the message of the hour. Oh, what is being interpreted to the right and to the left, above and below, behind and in front? If something is not clear to me or to you, then leave it alone and wait. God will see to it in His own time. Or do we think that we have to help God along and tell Him to hurry up? No, our God is Almighty, and He has eternity and time under control. We can rest assured that He will bring it to pass. Our desire is that God will come into His own with each one of us, with me, with us, who are at His disposal, and that the days ahead will simply please God and be a blessing to us, that we may leave here together with all our brothers and sisters and say, it was good to be here. It was good to be here. I believe that when the Lord is in our midst, it is good to be here. And I believe that it is very important to all of us to ask Him to visit us graciously, to be present in our midst. As the one who speaks and acts, as the one who still reveals Himself today, He is not far from any one of us. He is only as far away as you see Him. He is near. He wants to reveal Himself to us. I go into the coming days with confidence, not self-assured. My knees are shaking, and as Paul said back then, with trembling, not in uncertainty, but in awe and reverence for the living God. And we would like to say here today that we consecrate these premises, everything in fact, to the Lord, and that we ourselves will ensure that everything runs smoothly, that children stay with their parents and so on, that everything runs smoothly, that no one is hindered in their connection with God, and that no unnecessary conversations take place, but rather, as it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You know, I get a lot of calls, and there are some good suggestions. And one very dear sister said, wouldn't it be possible to read the scripture when we are now together again in Krefeld, that the house of God is a house of prayer, not a house of discussions, not a house of this and that. What should we do? There are people who have such a deep desire to experience God, people who care so much about God's cause, and I believe that we are among them, otherwise we would not be here. Let us do everything we can to ensure that God comes into His own with all of us. To Him, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, who took on the form of a servant and drew us to Himself and reconciled us to Himself, be honor, praise, and glory forever and ever. He is the same. May He look down on us and confirm the word of His grace by signs and wonders following, through salvation, through healing, and through deliverance, that He could do it to everyone who desire it, who need it. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and worship. Heavenly Father, from my heart, I would like to consecrate the podium, the platform, this entire building, and ask you to form a wall of fire around us. May you be present. May you discern our senses and thoughts, our considerations, our words, our impressions, whatever it may be that the enemy would use to sow discord. May you give us discernment, O Lord, that we may know how the enemy seeks to cause harm. May you let us experience days like never before. Beloved Lord, we invite you. We place ourselves under the covering of your blood, under the blood of atonement, and believe in the complete redemption you have given us. Beloved Lord, have mercy on your people and remember the covenant you have made with us, and the word and the promises you have given us by grace. Empower my beloved brothers, as you empowered our brothers in the beginning, that they may know that they have the authority to lay hands on the sick and say to them, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For you have already healed them, that they may know they have authority to lay hands on sinners and say, your sins are forgiven. Lord, we do not forgive and we do not heal, but we preach forgiveness and we believe in healing. And so we ask you, O God, grant us sobriety, grant us inspiration and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Lord, take possession of the whole congregation. May your angels be present, O God. We consecrate ourselves to you. May you circumcise our hearts and lips, our thoughts, yes, our mouths, and especially our tongues. May you cause cloven tongues like as of fire appear, that they may be purified to serve you. Grant harmony among your people. As Solomon prayed, let there be no division and no miscarriage in the land. Lord, open the heavens above us and be gracious to us for the sake of your holy name. Reveal yourself and bless us all. Bless my beloved brothers. Bless my dear sisters. Bless all who are yet to come. And be with us in a very special way, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.